Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Providing you with the tools, knowledge, skills, and power to advance your career, grow your business, and build a better future for your community. We are the Tourism Academy. Welcome to Business Class.
For more than 20 years, I worked in the business of tourism, promoting destinations, things to do, places to eat. Now, I've sold my house, everything in it, and I'm a full-time tourist. Joining me in this episode is Keith Snowd, and he gets to ask me anything. Steve Ekstrom here. Oh, we're wobbly. Whoa. See, this is what happens. This is our first episode of Business Class taken from inside. Oh, that's not going to work around my gut.
There we go.
Taken from inside of Gladys. Gladys being the RV.
That's right.
That absolutely. I am traveling now the country, yes. The continent.
You're on stop number three now, right? This is stop three?
Four.
Stop four. Okay.
Four. So I had the gay campground where luckily the guy in the background was wearing pants.
Yes. Yes.
I had a campground with my niece where she had a meltdown.
Yep. Then you had Thanksgiving.
Then I had Thanksgiving and a couple nights at my mom's house.
Which, you know.
Mom's house,
yep.
And now I'm here. I'm here at your place.
That's right. Snow Hill Oasis.
Correct. So, Steve Ekstrom, in case you didn't know that by now, and I'm the host of the Business Class podcast. This is Keith Snowd. Keith, you are the COO.
Lead Navigator,
COO.
Right.
I can give you more titles.
Group Travel Odyssey.
Okay.
Also, I'm COO for Kaleidoscope Adventures, but my major role right now is with Group Travel Odyssey.
What do you love about it?
I love that I'm learning so much about how people operate in the group travel space and get to use that information to make a product that makes it easier and more efficient and actually more enjoyable to work.
What was your first trip that you took with your family that you can remember?
Oh, golly. That I can remember. Well, I would have to say it's camping. It's definitely camping. So we used to go to Mohican State Park in Ohio.
Okay.
Just outside of Loudonville, Ohio. And we used to tent camp. And it was a lot of fun. And we had a pretty big tent. It was a big canvas tent. I mean, all four of us could have cots in it. I mean, it was pretty good size. But I remember this one camping trip where it poured. I mean, like, just sheets of rain. And I remember my father outside with a trowel digging trenches around the tent so that the water would stay away from the tent and coming in drenched. So I don't remember a lot of camping after that trip.
Not intense anymore.
Not intense anyway, yes. So that was probably the first trip that I remember us as a family taking. We'd load up the station wagon and go camping. Yeah.
So you and I just paid a visit to your parents' house.
Yes.
So I got to see the folks. How do you think you're most like each of your parents?
My mother is she feels things very deeply. I'm very much like her in that respect. And with my father just doesn't give up, and that is very much me. Like my favorite phrase is no is just a starting point. So and that would be my father. He just doesn't give up. So
okay.
Which is a spirit that I am happy that I have gained from him. And then from both of them, I would say the biggest thing that I've gained from both of them together is the idea that servant leadership is the best type of leadership. So
it's important.
Yes.
We can go off the rails.
That's fine. All right. Let's go.
So what did you think when I said I was going to sell my house and travel?
Well, there was the first thought was a little jealousy. I'm going to be honest. The first thought was a little jealousy. The second thought was, he's nuts, but I already knew that.
Yes. The third is, did he just have a breakdown?
And the third is, when he says RV, how big does he really mean? I didn't think that you were talking 84 square feet. And it's yes, it is 84 square feet.
We're taking up both sides of the RV here. Like, you could probably touch both windows at the same time.
Yes. So.
And we've got the bathroom door closed.
Yeah. We figured no one needs to see this.
Nobody needs to see it.
We've all seen a bathroom before. I actually think it's a brilliant adventure to take right now in life. I think that I still have that hint of jealousy because I think it sounds like a ball.
Well, where are you going to meet me on the road?
So you said,
I said, pick a place.
You had said Yellowstone.
Yellowstone in the spring.
Yes. And that one's keeps calling to me because that is the one national park I have not been to.
Neither have I. That's why I'm going
to
do it.
So that to me,
okay.
I might be leaving on a jet plane to meet you out there.
Fantastic. Well, I've got, as you can see, two twin beds. AKA couches, AKA dining table.
I promise to pack very lightly.
So my sister was packing my niece up to camp with me for a week, and she gave her a carry-on, like, the 22-inch carry-on.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting here and I'm like, where am I going to put that bag?
Yeah, because there's not really a lot of space that can be stowed here.
No, there's not a lot of spare space, but there's, I mean, I do have some space up in the front.
Yes.
With the driving chairs,
yes,
situated as they are, mm-hmm. But the storage up here, up above,
you've used it all.
This is all accounted for. So
yeah,
I don't know. Well, people can't see in there, but
yeah.
So you've got my cleaning supplies. Well, oh, there's really, that bug spray.
You really only can put one roll of paper towel. Can't
yeah,
you?
I told you my mother was trying to give me two rolls of paper towels, and I told her I could only take one.
Well, so note to everyone: if you're going to give Stephen anything, it cannot be more than one roll.
Paper towels.
So, that's.
And so. Toilet paper I'm stocked up on.
Yes. We're good. I saw that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My sister gave me RV toilet paper for Christmas years ago.
There's RV toilet paper?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Because you can't use, like, the regular multiply treated paper.
Oh, that's right. It's like campground stuff.
It's like campground stuff. So it has to be quick dissolve.
Okay.
Who knew?
That's right. But at least you can hook up the, like, services. You don't have a composting toilet.
I do not have a composting toilet. So I have electrical connection.
Yeah.
So right now I'm plugged into your garage. Mm-hmm. I have solar panels. Mm-hmm. And I have propane generator and heat. So between the three of them, I can pretty much go off grid.
That's great.
Depending on how much water I have stored.
Right.
And
right. Whatever. That's like the one defining factor that says I will never do the tiny home thing, because every time they show it on TV,
composting toilets.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Like, there's a line I have to draw, and that's it, right there.
That's the only line you draw is composting toilets.
When tiny homes come into play, I can deal with climbing into my bed in the loft, things like all of that. I'm good.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
But the composting toilet, no, that's just off the list.
There was something about like the loft thing.
Yeah.
Where if I wake up and the ceiling is, 12 inches from my head.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
No.
Because there will be a time. There will be more than one time when I will forget that it's that.
And you try to sit up in bed.
Yes.
And you clunk yourself.
Yes. Yes, you will.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. No. But I got a, on the kitchen on this thing.
It's great. I've seen actually New York City apartments that have smaller kitchens than that.
Yeah, that's true. And far less efficient kitchens.
That's true.
Because they have that big stove oven thing.
Yes.
Which takes up half of the space.
Yeah.
Whereas I have gas burners, I have a convection oven, I have a small fridge, sink.
Mm-hmm. With a nice view. Well, right
depending
now,
on where
neighbor,
I am. I can see your neighbor.
Yeah.
And when I was at the gay campground, I can't say that the view was spectacular.
Was it a water view?
It was actually. I could see out to the pond. But the campground there was huge. It was like almost 300 acres.
Wow, that's big.
It was really big. And there was, I think, maybe 5-6 people on staff who were there throughout the week. And there may have been only like 2 other guests.
Wow. How many sites were there?
60, 70?
Wow, and there were only a couple of the guests on.
Yeah. I mean, it was the middle of the week.
Yeah, it's true. It's not the time for that right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So, for the most part, I didn't really see a lot of people until the weekend. Hmm. And each morning we'd wake up and there'd be 3 or 4 deer kind of grazing around in front of us. And
well, supposedly we have a bear in our neighborhood, so you might wake up and you'd see wildlife here too.
I might wake up and find your neighbors trying to net me.
Ah.
reluctantly accepting the fact that I am a bear.
No, I wasn't talking about you, but.
But. If the shoe fits.
That's it. Well, so.
Put some sequins on it.
That's right. Absolutely. I've got some inside if you'd like.
Sequins?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why am I not surprised?
You shouldn't be putting up Christmas. There's got to be glitter. Oh. There's glitter and sequins everywhere, so.
Yeah, there's more glitter and sequins in your place than the back room of a strip joint.
That might be true.
That might be true.
In fact, the Christmas tree I put up just left a trail of glitter all the way through the living room floor, so, you know.
Looked like a divorce hearing waiting to happen.
It did. You know you're putting up Christmas in my household when it involves having to shower afterwards to get all the glitter off of your body. So.
Yeah. Where?
No.
What is your most unique holiday tradition?
Our most unique holiday tradition. Let's see. I don't know that I'm going to call them unique. I wouldn't say that they're overly unique. My family has the tradition of having pork and sauerkraut on New Year's Eve at midnight. So,
okay.
As a good luck. Good luck for the new year. Dwayne and I, so tonight, we have put up Christmas, and I'm almost done. We will, when we get finished putting up Christmas, we always watch White Christmas together. That's kind of our thing.
Aww.
So, it's our favorite holiday movie. I mean, who doesn't? No. That's Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney and...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like a little bit of Bing? You know? Anyway. So.
Correct! I won't. I won't take the bait.
I tried. I really did. So that'll be happening at our household this evening. We're making turkey tetrazzini, which is another holiday tradition. I always take the leftover turkey and make turkey tetrazzini. It's a casserole. For those of you who aren't from the Midwest, it's a casserole.
Okay? When in doubt, if somebody from the Midwest is making something, it's probably a fucking casserole.
True. Absolutely true. Because that's how we all grew up. Yep. So you went to church on Sunday, and then when you got done with church, there was a potluck, and everyone had to bring a casserole.
Yep.
And so turkey tetrazzini was not the one. Cheesy potatoes was always my casserole at the church dinner. So, you know.
What we had this morning for breakfast was really good.
Well, that was made up, though. I mean, we
that was winging it.
That was winging it. That was cinnamon brioche bread. French toast casserole with bacon on top, but we've already figured out how we're going to make it better next time.
Correct.
So, yes.
It was delicious. It was basically a bread pudding.
Yes. It's going to be bread even pudding more, with
bacon.
It's going to be even more like a bread pudding the next time we make it.
Yum. A little sausage crust.
Yes. Which you're going to have to maybe then swing by on stop number, what will that be, 8 by then?
8, 9, 10. Yeah, because after here I go to St. Augustine.
Right.
For a week.
And Savannah.
Then I'm in Savannah, but I'm staying downtown for a few nights. Then I'm staying out in Tybee Island for a few nights.
Yeah.
And then I go to Beaufort.
Mm-hmm. To see the kazoos.
And I'm going to tour the kazoo factory.
And our friend Linda.
And I'm going to see Linda. And yes. I'm going to see Peach.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to spend a couple nights at Linda's place. Then I'm going to go spend a couple nights at Hunting Island State Park. Did I hear
something about a seafood boil or something you're doing there?
There's an oyster smoke. Yes, so Linda has made me very well aware that there's an oyster smoke and I cannot be late when I arrive on Sunday.
Don't be late for the oyster smoke. That's That's like.
But they're super awesome because they set me up with a 2 or 3 day itinerary in each of those destinations. And there's some fun stuff on it, like the kazoo.
Oh, no, there's awesome stuff in that area. Yeah. That's great.
Kazoo Museum tour with the mayor.
You know, another place you just stop that would be an awesome stop for you.
What's that?
Is Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh, that's on the list.
Yeah. And go see Martin Accordions.
Martin Accordions, yeah.
Oh, man. Just.
They're on the list.
Yeah. Those destinations are places that more people should visit.
Yes. And I've worked with them for a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
A really long time. So I want to do that. And then depending on how the weather feels.
Right.
Or really how my joints feel with the weather.
Because, you know.
We've reached a certain age where our joints predict the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of our colleagues in the travel industry can relate to that.
Yeah. So I'm going to go along the Gulf Coast. Or maybe up as far north as Memphis. Mm-hmm. And then down into Mexico.
Lisa will see up with stuff.
See Lisa. And then I have a cousin that lives there.
Oh,
he and his
awesome.
Wife. Yep.
Okay.
And then go down into Mexico for a few weeks. Maybe 6 weeks or so.
Where are you going to go to Mexico? Have you decided?
I've got some spots on a map.
See, that's the thing you don't have room for in here.
There's
you
a
don't
map?
Have room for a big map. That's
I could put like one of those sticker ones over here.
Yeah, you could. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
But I have like the frame right behind you.
Yeah. Oh, that's adorable.
I have a bunch more of those up here, so I'm going to take some family photos and put them up here. Command strips.
Yeah. Actually, you could put it on this door and then just cut it in half, and then it comes together, you know. That way, sometimes if you're only working half the country, you'll have to shut half the door.
Yeah, and everybody's on this side of me taking a deuce.
There you go. I'm trying to give you helpful hints here.
Yeah. went right south. No, Mexico, I want to visit parts of the Yucatan. And there are some really cool artsy communities
mm-hmm.
in and around there. Like, is it... I can't remember the names right now. But they're on some lakes and stuff like that. So I want to visit some of those. And wait out the winter until it's time to come north through California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho... Then Yellowstone, Arches,
yeah.
Monument Valley,
all that good stuff.
Get down into New Mexico and visit some friends there.
Yeah.
Stay at the Native American Reservation.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Zip across the middle of the country.
Right.
Then come up through Michigan, get into Canada, do some New York.
Yeah.
Quebec, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick.
I mean, if you had the time when you did Michigan, you should do the Upper Peninsula, but it's a drive. It's... You know.
What else am I going to do?
Good point.
My house Good has point. A steering wheel and a gas pedal.
Copper Harbor is one of my favorite places in the world. So
I'm going to put that on my map.
It is the northernmost point in the Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
So and it's one of those places that once you cross a certain point after you leave Houghton Hancock, you get to a point where your cell phone really doesn't work that well anymore. It's out there in the middle of nowhere. But Copper Harbor is where US 27 ends, which goes to Miami as well.
Oh.
So when you get into Copper Harbor, there's a sign. We have a picture of ourselves standing under it. It says Miami, like 1900 and whatever odd miles it is.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned cell phones. And it's one of the questions I get most often.
Okay.
Is what do I do for Wi-Fi?
And what do you do for Wi-Fi?
It's a good question.
Okay, great.
A lot of people ask. So there's a Wi-Fi antenna and 4G cell receiver on the roof.
Okay.
That's connected to AT&T. So I can scan a neighborhood for their Wi-Fi signal, and as long as I get 50% signal or better,
mm-hmm.
and it's an open network or I know the password, I can connect to it.
Okay.
So that actually scans up to 3/4 of a mile.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So right now, like, the Wi-Fi signal I'm getting off your house is at 88%.
Yeah.
Which is probably stronger than you're getting inside your house.
Probably.
Then, if I can't get Wi-Fi, then I have the AT&T 4G cell...
Right.
Cell hotspot thing that runs through the same thing.
Okay.
And then, just in case, with backups, I have a Verizon hotspot.
Okay.
That connects through the same device on the roof.
So you got lots of fail safes just in case something doesn't work.
I have the Wi-Fi, AT&T or Verizon.
That's great.
One, if none of those work, oh well, day off.
The forced day off. That's great.
The forced, yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that happening.
That's actually not a bad kind of random thing to happen on your trip.
No. Just to have to find a way to send a message to somebody.
Yes.
Says, hey. Fix my out of office.
Yep.
Cancel my meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Forced day off. I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe we could do smoke signals.
Ooh. Yeah, but a smoke signal's coming from inside an RV is probably not a good sign.
That's probably not a good sign. That's correct.
And yes. That sound, well, you probably can't hear it in the background over there because the mic is right next to us. But it's Rudy chomping down on a new bone because we went to the farmer's market yesterday.
That's right. And Tribal Acres sold you some bones for
Tribal Acres. Yep. They were 2 pounds of beef bones. Big ones. Like,
yeah.
Chunky. Like you could roast those for the marrow.
Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah. It was $12. Wasn't bad.
But Rudy's making short work of all of them, so.
Yes, he's on his second in 24 hours. But it keeps him busy. Otherwise, he'd probably be up here trying to, like, climb on your lap or whatever.
Yep, I understand that.
And he will eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But what else did we get at the farmer's market? I got honey goat cheese.
Right. And we've got baguettes we've got to get out for you.
Sweet. And
yes, from the French bakery.
Caramelized onion cheddar.
Which is amazing.
Delicious cheese.
Yes.
And then yesterday we had, what was that? Hatch chili?
The Hatch chili cheddar. Yes.
Was it cheddar or jack?
No, it was cheddar.
That was good.
Yeah.
I love cheese.
Yes. That's chili, and then tonight we'll have some of the goat cheese also with the baguette. With our turkey tetrazzini.
Turkey tetrazzini. What, thinking about my little adventure here. What's something you would hope I get to experience on this trip?
I hope you get to experience the local flavor of areas that you've never been before. That's what I hope that you get to do. Because, you know, when we travel a lot for work. And we get to go to trade shows and we get to see things, but it's a guided discovery. You know, you're taken to things, and it's very rare that you get enough time to get off the beaten path mm-hmm. and do your own thing. You know, I still think of like the last time I was at World Travel Market and Anna Karnowski and I got to go to Windsor for the day. We just did our own thing, and it was an amazing day that just kind of unfolded on its own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess for me, I'm hoping that you have, because I know you have that spirit anyway, so to have the ability to just have a ton of experiences that just unfold on their own, instead of having to plan everything.
Yeah, like that.
That's what I'm hoping for your trip, because that's what really makes, those are the memories I think that stick the most to me, the ones that are unexpected.
When you say, piss on this to the schedule.
Right.
And you just go and have a blast. Well, it's kind of interesting because I said to people that, you know, for 20 years, you and I have been working in an industry where we've made great friends, and it's our friends' jobs to know the reason that people should come and visit their community.
Right.
And we have been listening to these people talk about their communities for 20 years, and that conversation always says, when are you coming to visit?
That's exactly right.
Well, knock, motherfuckers. I'm coming to visit.
That's right. And how many people actually make it happen? That's right.
Not many.
Right.
I don't think many do. Even the most, I don't want to say abusive, even the most solicitous buyer.
Yes. I know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yes.
The person who's always there for a freebie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Even those folks don't do everything.
No, and it's, you know, I guess the other thing about it, and this is part of the reason for me with GTO, is trying to get information, trying new ways to get information in front of people when they're looking for it on the group travel side. I mean, there's plenty of resources for, you know, FIT travel, and actually some of those could be improved too. But, you know, I think that we miss the boat a lot in our industry because we sell the tried and true too much, you know, and it's not because I know we get busy but I think that we sometimes do our customers a disservice and we do our own businesses a disservice as well because we don't step outside and we don't go to the Beaufort, we don't go to, you know, the Lafayette's. We don't really
push
or educate our customer to go, it's actually your better choice. You know, I don't want to discount the large destinations. They're great and they have their place and everybody should do those things. But what I see happening a lot in the group, especially in the group travel industry, is people doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and getting them to step outside of that box and go, you know what, alternate it with something, mix it up, do something different. Maybe not do 5 days at the big destination, do 3 days and then do 2 days somewhere else and really mix it up. But there's so much out there to offer that adds more value to who we are as an industry and really diversifies what we offer our customers. And so I think it's great that you're getting out to see all this stuff because that's the message we need to start. We need to educate people on using those resources.
I have been thoroughly entertained just looking at the itineraries these folks have put together for me.
I can imagine. It's amazing.
And I can't give away too much, but I kind of get the feeling it's going to be like a group of friends trying to stump each other with who can come up with the most ridiculous thing for Steve to see or do or eat or people to meet.
So that means I feel now that I failed on my visit here, you know.
Oh, no, you guys are pretty weird.
Fair.
We've been friends for far too long for you to be normal.
That's true. We wouldn't have stuck if that was the case.
No, would have faded out long ago.
I think it's great, and I hope you get to experience those things because, first of all, how you're doing this and the message you're sharing as you go through your trip. A lot of people will see that. And I hope that they learn from that experience and your experiences on how we can be better stewards of our industry and stewards of our customers' time.
Yeah. So. Well, it's like, I remember one time Pete Pantuso was in New York and I said, oh, you know, how'd you get here? He says, I took a bus, of course. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
But here we all are working in travel and tourism, and when do we become tourists? When was the last time you were a tourist?
That's a great question.
I don't remember the last time I was a tourist. Maybe in Quebec. Had a couple extra days on a trip.
Yeah, because I...
Or Ireland with my grandparents.
I would say... I would say that the last time... I was a tourist when was the last time that we took a trip? Oh, no. Right before COVID, we went on a cruise.
Okay.
We were a tourist and we took a 5-day Norwegian cruise over Thanksgiving in 2019.
There you go.
Yeah, that was the last time I was really a tourist.
Think about that. You know, you had to think really hard about that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And we work in tourism.
And to think about it also in relation to the trips that I've taken, even pre-COVID, I was in Omaha for ABA, but I really wasn't a tourist there because I didn't really engage in touristy stuff, and I should have.
Yeah, there for work, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I certainly could have. So that's really interesting. You know, I was in St. Petersburg for IITA right before COVID. Same idea. So, you're right. That kind of makes you rethink your... You know, I'm coming up to ABA and Grapevine. Maybe I should spend a little time and be a tourist there.
Oh, I had a great conversation with Anna and Allison about that.
Yes, I heard. Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, yeah. So the takeaway,
Plan
the days before the trip.
Yes.
Because once the conference is over, you want to go home.
That's exactly right. That's exactly.
So plan right. those extra 3 days. Heather would be great to take care of you.
Yeah, she's fantastic. I just saw her at NTA in Cleveland.
She's lovely. She's good people.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's good people.
I'm sure she's got a lot on her plate right now.
Oh, yeah. They have NTA and they had something else there. No, ABA coming up. And they had something else that was happening there.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And then we've got, I'm going to San Diego for IITA right after that.
Oh.
1st of February.
At least it's San Diego in February.
That's right. Well, I mean, I'm in Florida, so I'm...
Yeah. But still, San Diego's consistently 70s, 80s.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know,
it will be lovely.
Got down into the 50s.
It will be lovely.
That'll be nice.
Yes. No, it has been cold here. I know all of my friends from the north are like, yeah, it's not cold here. Well, if you're a Floridian, it's cold.
It's cold. I had to put socks on.
Yes, that's right.
That's the measure of cold.
I had to wear a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, I got out my hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof. I know we're being scorned by a lot of people up north right now.
Oh, well. Suffer. Suffer in your cold, frigid masses.
Yes. We lived there. We know. So we got out.
What else? What's something you would want more people to know about me? Or you would ask me that...
Well, let's see.
It only happened once in college, whatever that question is.
Okay, no, I wasn't going to go there, but
okay.
I mean, if you'd like to go there, we could go.
No, that's for some time off recording.
Yes. So, I actually think that... I don't think people tap into your visionary side enough of what you have great vision for things. You have tremendous industry knowledge, which I think people utilize a lot. I think a lot of our friends come to you for advice just to bounce things off of you. But I think that you're a little bit of a dreamer, like me too. We have some great conversations about things related to kind of the future of travel, the future in general. I don't know all your conversations. I don't know that people tap into that side of you as much. So if I were to say one thing that I really would love, I think people would really benefit more conversations with you about just kind of the future of anything you want to talk about, especially the travel industry.
It makes me think of, I showed up in a destination, and within 20 minutes of being on the ground,
mm-hmm.
are you selling yourself like this, that, or the other thing?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I can pick from
right.
random examples where that type of sales or that product or that
right.
theme is doing really well and apply it over here.
I think that's one of the traits that I think that's why we've got it.
And cut through the bullshit to get to like
right.
what the final thing is. Because
right.
I have no patience for the bullshit.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that you and I share is that the ability to kind of take a quick scan and kind of see where things are headed and where to point the ship for the most opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it's hard to get the ship to point that direction.
That's politics.
Yes.
You can have that.
That's a different thing. But being able to spot that fairly quickly, I think that's a trait that both you and I share. And I think that's something that really could, I think people could tap into that with you more from an education standpoint, especially with what you're doing with the Tourism Academy, to learn how to kind of look for the signs for things like that.
Okay.
So, what about, same question for me. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You would think.
You have... I refer to it as a mechanical way of thinking. In that if you open up a watch,
mm-hmm.
it's hundreds of little pieces.
Yes.
And without having to disassemble or reassemble, you can see how they all work together. Or how they all could work together if they're just laid out. And a lot of people... can see that the watch tells time,
mm-hmm.
or can see, yes, this piece turns this piece, but to have it all laid out and be like, oh, this, you need this little tiny thing over here to make this work. Like, you have an ability to see the I want to say the whole picture, but the whole of the mechanics that go into something.
That's fair.
And yeah. And to be able to produce a finished product that,
yeah,
you know, that looks as simple as telling time.
That's the goal.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
It is. The goal is that it looks simple.
Right. Yeah, it is.
It's complicated as hell.
Mm-hmm. Boy, learned that lesson time and time again over the last 8 months.
But do you think you guys are in a good spot now?
Oh, I think we're in a fantastic spot now. All of the apps work and function as we had intended them to do. Some with even better functionality than we thought. No, we're in a good spot. We're in a very good spot. I didn't anticipate us being this far along by the end of 2021. We made it further. We have more integrations than I thought we were going to have. And we have a very clear and defined roadmap for 2022. We're finally at the point where now we've actually set what the product's going to look like in 2022.
Okay.
And we're not deviating from that. Any changes that we make
are within that frame.
Okay. And anything that we want to do over and above that is for release for 2023. Like, it's already been, like, we are at the stage in our development where, like, we can actually define in that type of terminology, which is a big step for us in terms of just how we manage things. But it's also a big step because it means we reached a threshold.
Critical mass.
Right. Where we can actually set that standard.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, there's lots more coming. There's lots more opportunity. The product's going to constantly be evolving. But we are at a very good spot.
All right. What makes you laugh?
What makes me laugh?
Or, if you can think of a scenario where something I said just echoes in your mind and cracks you up, what would it be? I've said some ridiculous shit.
Yeah, you have. You have. I don't think it's any one thing. I think the thing that gets me laughing the most with you is I have watched you give multitudes of interviews, and I've been present for some of them. And it never ceases to amaze me that no matter who is giving you an interview, that you, with one sentence, can stump them. It never ceases to amaze me. And it always makes me laugh. And I'm always like, here it comes. Like, you can kind of tell you're headed for it. So anyway, but that's just because I've known you too long. So.
And it's not a question to stump them either.
No, usually it's a remark about something they've said. It's usually not even an answer to a question.
No, it's, yeah.
But I have heard you give some questions out to people that they really didn't know how to answer them. So
those are politicians.
Yeah. Yes.
Those are clearly the politicians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I am.
I think what was the one? One of my favorite moments was on a cruise with Anna. And Anna, you know the story.
Yes.
Anna had met this woman before, shortly after we got on the cruise. And
right.
Here we are getting ready to line up for dinner. And this woman and her husband are in front of us. Now, she's got this really thick Brooklyn accent. She's shaped like a tomato. And her husband is this tall bean sprout kind of guy with a fanny pack and every type of, you know.
Yes, everything.
Imodium.
Yes.
Motion sickness. Yes. Everything is in his fanny pack.
He's a walking CVS.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're really sweet people. But
right.
Dear God. They just paint a picture. They look like they stepped out of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So as we walk up to them, the woman just turns and looks at me and she goes, if you think you're going to cut me in line, you're going to have to kick my ass. And I looked right back at her and I said, I think I'm going to need some bigger feet. I didn't see that coming. And clearly neither did she.
Sometimes it just comes.
It was just a gift. It was a gift from the gods to everybody present. And her husband was cracking up. Oh, he thought it was hysterical. And of course, she started laughing too, you know.
Right, right.
And then, I mean, I was apologizing profusely, and Anna's jaw was on the ground for a good 10 minutes. When I can stump a friend like that,
yeah, absolutely.
That's a good one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's funny, though. I think that's one of the things that that makes me laugh the most about the times that we've been together, and like when Anna's been around, and when Anna and I are together. And that's what I love about traveling with you and with her and with some of our other friends and Allison. Like, I will talk to anybody.
Oh, yeah. But we'll judge it, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll do that on the side. But you know, I think that that's what some people miss when they travel, is they don't...
They're so afraid to talk to their local.
Well, yeah, they're so afraid to get out of their space, you know, and what do you have to lose? Say hi to somebody and strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to say that living in New York all those years did that to me, but I was that way prior to that, so I can't use that as an excuse. So, but, you know, I think that that's, you know, being even in that situation when you're, you know, so many people would not have made a comment back, but you went right to it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I was either going to make a friend or die trying.
You know?
Die.
Yeah.
Die trying.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, I think that that's, I think from a travel standpoint, I think a lot of people miss out when they don't just, you know, grab that conversation and have at it, you know?
One of my favorite things to do back in New York was whenever I had a group in front of me, and, you know, at that point, I was not the person giving you your tour. I was not the person who was taking care of you in the restaurant or seating you at the theater. Like, I'm just the corporate guy that shows up. I'm like, what do you want to know from somebody who lives down the street?
Oh, great question.
Yeah, because your tour guide told you what blade of grass Washington stood on.
Right. Absolutely.
What do you want to know about living here? Where do you get your groceries?
Yeah.
Where's a gas station?
Right. Yeah.
How big's your apartment? How much do you spend for your apartment?
That was always the top question.
That was the top question.
Yes, that was always the top question.
I love to explain to people, well, I had, in my time in New York, I had 3 or 4 different apartments and very different scales of living.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you have the walk-up studio with exposed brick, or you have the luxury building with 2 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms.
Right.
And a balcony and a roof garden.
But I don't know about you. When we moved to New York, we made a conscious decision that we wanted to try all of those different life. Like, we...
Oh, yeah.
That was part of our plan in living in the city. Like, we wanted to live in a brownstone. We wanted to live... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We wanted to do those things throughout the... And we did, which was fantastic.
It's kind of cool.
It is.
That's one of the things I miss. I wish more people got to experience about living in New York.
I have this thing that I say, I think people should be required to live there.
Yeah.
For two reasons.
Okay. What are they?
2 reasons. The first one is that it teaches you to live lean and mean. Because whatever you bring, you got to pay for the space to bring it.
Yeah.
Okay. The second reason is, this is what I call it. I call it forced tolerance.
Yes.
Because you have to learn how to be tolerant. And if you don't, you will go mad. Because
you're the one that suffers.
You're the one that suffers. You are absolutely the one that suffers, and you will go mad. Because even just riding the subway on a busy morning with people all around you and people touching you and
various smells.
Yes, and everything. If you don't learn how to be tolerant and learn how to just accept it and move on, you'll drive yourself nuts.
I think in that same vein, it was, you know, I lived in a building with 1,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
In that building, there were more than 50 or 60 languages spoken.
Easily. Yeah. Yeah. We lived in a building with 600 units. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easily. Yeah.
And everybody got along.
That's right.
Everybody got along. Mm-hmm. So wherever I run into people who, you know, think about how they couldn't get along with the other, whatever that other is,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's not the other.
Yeah.
It's usually you.
Right. Absolutely.
Because given an opportunity, everybody just wants to have a better life for their kids. Everybody just wants to have, you know, a better home than they grew up in.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you'll experience it all in New York. That's why I think everybody should be forced to do. But I mean, and we had our fair share of wacky neighbors, man.
Ooh, oh, we had some doozies. I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. She got arrested.
Oh, yeah. Right in the street in front of the building, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because she was trying to disturb the deputy mayor's daughter's wedding that was happening across the street because she said it was making too much noise. Probably the wrong person to pick on. No, but, yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, not good.
She deserved it.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, she was a little... Yeah. Anyway. But... No, I agree. I think that there's a, I'm very happy for my time in New York City. I miss it. I don't miss paying for it.
There you go.
And I don't miss winter.
I don't miss winter at all.
Because if you hate winter in the Midwest, you loathe winter in New York City. Because,
yes,
especially that time when I was working at the Intrepid and walking out to...
The wind gusts off the Hudson.
Oh my gosh.
They cut through you. I've never felt my bones.
Oh, I know.
Like
walking into that wind. Oh, wow. Yeah. There's no cold like that. I'm sorry.
No. Parts of my body disappeared and have still not resurfaced.
Amen.
I said about the mosquitoes at the first campground. I said, these people walking around hardly clothed. With all these mosquitoes, are going to look like they had 23 nipples.
Because
all the mosquito bites. I thought it was kind of clever.
I'm sorry. The other day when you were telling us about the mosquito repellent that you have, and the first night that you had what, 30 some mosquitoes?
33. I killed 33 mosquitoes in this little space that got in the time it took me to open the door, let the dog out. And open the door and let the dog in.
Okay.
33 fucking mosquitoes.
And Keith, I have to tell you all, when you told me this story, all I could picture was a Carol Burnett skit of you like killing these mosquitoes in here. And
oh, I was. I was barely clothed, like swatting at everything. And these mosquitoes were not like run of the mill mosquitoes.
Were they the big ones?
They were huge. And they were meaty. You ever killed a mosquito and you could actually feel like its mass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I told you to go up north in Michigan, yeah.
Oh, that's a great story. Why don't you talk me into that?
Yeah, I should probably be on their CVP.
Probably not. All right. Well, this has been a good chat.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thanks. It's good to talk to you. We'll
check in when I'm on the road again.
Yeah, I'm. Thank you for allowing me to be the first interview in Gladys.
In Gladys.
That's right. I
Gladys the RV.
You should have T-shirts that said "I've been in Gladys."
That's actually really funny. Everybody gets a T-shirt. Now, if I had storage for those, that'd be even funnier.
It would have to be one of
maybe
those.
It's a pin.
Ship, yeah.
Maybe everybody gets a pin. Yeah,
there you
or
go.
A sticker.
Yeah, that's right. You can, you know, if you make the pin the size of the paper towel roll, you can store
stuff
them
in there.
It's safe them that way.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about efficiency.
All about multi-purposing.
That's right. You know, that's what they say on the Tiny House Show.
I've been in Gladys.
Wow.
Or have you been in Gladys?
That's there you go. That's even better because you want people to question and ask.
I mean, they should. Gladys is not like, you know, a hot 20-something-year-old's name.
No, it is not. No. Mm-mm. It was a great Caribbean restaurant in Crown Heights, by the way. But
Gladys, called Gladys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course there was.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Good food.
Yeah, I know.
Turkey tetrazzini tonight?
That's it. That's my next thing. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Good
take care, everyone.
Bye.